That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We all got cut off because I'm sure the government was listening Zoom, and they didn't want to hear it.
They're
ladies
like, three ladies are discussing their rights. Let's shut it down.
Shut it down. There'll be no talk of your reproductive autonomy on this podcast. I blame Spectrum and the high winds.
The high winds are very, very real. I was in the desert this weekend and there was like an alert that came through on my phone that was like dust storm, run for your dune shelters, basically. Was like, thank God the movie Dune just came out recently. So you guys know you gotta get in that shelter.
Can we quickly talk about the ears and the face popping up behind you?
That situation.
That's Indiana.
Oh my stars. What on God's earth is happening with that face? It's too freaking cute.
Yes. I know. He's such a good boy. We shouldn't pay too much attention. Otherwise, he'll just be like, he'll start whining. Okay. He'll be like, did you see me? Is it time for me to whine so you can touch me? But maybe at some point he'll like be asleep and pop up and his little tongue will be hanging out of the side of his mouth.
Okay,
and
it'll perfect.
Also give you feels. On that note, you guys, well, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin, and joining us today, finally, we got her. She is a busy lady and comedian, but most importantly, a former restaurant worker and manager, Nicole Amy Schreiber, everybody.
Hello. It is so good to be here and not in a restaurant.
Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah, I hear that. It's like weird to see my own face on Zoom at the moment because for the first time, I listened to one of the ads rolling on our podcast, which I was like, ooh, there's like a Juvederm lip injection ad running on our podcast. I was like, gross. I don't stand for it. Click to a few months later, getting ready for a headshot. I'm like, what if I just got like the tiniest amount of my lip done? And now there's something fucking fucked up in the middle of my lip. It's a little ball. I have to go see the lady. She might have to dissolve it. It's really creepy. I'm not sure I recommend it. Anyways.
I have seen so much Juvederm go sideways in the lips that I'm like, that's not happening. But I did Juvederm under my eyes. Because I have sunken eyes and I will never do that again.
Yeah, I think this is a learning lesson for anyone out there. I think it's up to your own personal tolerance of what you will do to your body and what's comfortable and whatnot. I'm not a big risk taker.
No.
But I do find it hilarious people who just fill their faces and their bodies with weird chemicals, but they're like, no thanks on that vaccine. I don't know what's in it.
I've had clients and then and if you didn't know this about me, I'm an esthetician. And so I have had clients who are like, I don't like what this Botox has done to my face. Let's fix it. And I will gua sha the Botox down into their face to kind of like subside it and reshape it.
Okay, so, can we quickly talk about gua sha?
Mm-hmm. And sure. This is a service industry podcast. Uh-huh. We are getting there, people. But hang on.
But right now, we're talking industry. About getting our faces serviced. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Still talking about service.
It's still a tiffy industry.
Service to industry. Thyself. What is fucking gua sha?
All right. So gua sha is an ancient Chinese technique, like using stone tools. It's older than acupuncture. It's from the Stone Age, whereas acupuncture is from the Iron Age. And what it does specifically is it drains lymph and thins out the fascia wall and helps to sculpt and move muscles. So you can do it on the body really aggressively to help to break up like adhesions or like deep like scar tissue or cellulite or muscle mm-hmm. pain. But when done on the face, you're looking to like depuff and then lift and sculpt it. And it's like, and so it can help to rid the face of fine and deep lines when done repetitively, because like if you have your 11s where you furrow all the time, that's just fascia that builds up to protect the muscle over it. Fascia is kind of like the body's girdle. It's kind of how it's mm-hmm. on like every organ you have. It's on every, it lives between your skin and your tissue. And you can break all that shit up and like, yeah, it's
smooth
incredible.
It out.
It's super simple. It's really- it just creates microcirculation and like helps to repair the skin. So it's totally badass.
She's impressive, right, Nicole?
I mean that, by the way, no one has given me a straight answer for what gua sha is. And there was something about you that I was like, this lady will know. What she's talking about.
I do like to know what I'm talking about, but
she's an instructor, to be fair.
It's true. I've done my 10,000 hours. It's really I'm a pro. I'm a fucking pro at this.
Well,
point.
Maybe I'll come to you for a gua sha facial.
You should. Absolutely. We would have
Andrea kind of lays hands on a lot of ladies in the comedy community, and she's the reason Julia Rossi looks like she's 28 years old. And all that stuff, you know, but yeah, I'll hook it up. We'll talk about this later.
We'll talk about all of
Perfect.
It.
Perfect.
We will talk about it. What we can talk about, which we are contractually obligated. Mm-hmm. No, we choose to do it. It's great. they're watching us right now. They know. Okay. So we partner with Lo-Fi Aperitifs. Have you ever imbibed? I may ask. Mm-hmm. They're lovely.
Okay.
It's a natural botanical, basically Napa Valley wine country, beautiful organic grade aperitifs mm-hmm. that are okay. so delicious. They've got a sweet vermouth, a dry vermouth, and a gentian amaro, where Andrea always comes home from the bar and makes a fucking tipsy nightcap with her gentian amaro.
It's true. I'll be like, I can recreate this, not for $18. Thank you. I don't say stuff like that. But
I don't drink. So hearing about these beverages, there's so many like pop-up kind of beverages now that I'm like, maybe I should give these a try. Maybe I don't. It's not that I'm sober. I just don't like the taste of alcohol. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. when I hear about these new things, because there's so many new kinds of alcohols and beverages, and I'm like, oh, maybe if I try one of these new vehicles, I might actually like it, and I could be an alcoholic. Like I feel like I've really missed out on my alcoholism years.
I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, I wish I had what you have, which is like, oh, I just don't like the taste of it. I'm like, damn, I love the taste. I really do. I love the taste of it, and I love Lo-Fi Aperitifs, and I'm excited for summery, sunny days coming up where we can do... Their whole thing is low alcohol by volume, meaning you can have multiple cocktails and you're not going to get super drunk, mm-hmm. just very pleasantly buzzed, which also sounds like a good match for you because... Yes. Not as a drinker, you don't want to be sloppy, girl.
Mm-hmm. I mean, also, if I have a drink, I'm usually slop city. Like, it is it is no fucking bueno. Like, I am a hottie toddy mess.
I love it. I'm into it. And I have a goal to have one drink with you one day. So we will do that. All right, let's kick it off with some headlines. Today, since you know, I know we're recording on a Wednesday, but today is actually Friday the 13th and Mercury's in retrograde. And if you go to nationaltoday.com for whatever stupid fucking celebration is happening internationally, it is International Hummus Day.
I have worked at a restaurant that served hummus. Have you guys?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was one of my, I loved working at restaurants where they had good snackable stuff.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Okay. So yes. And I always say I'm going to do the full episode about my experience working in you know, Mediterranean or basically Middle Eastern restaurants in Detroit for a good portion of my life. And yes, when you're cleaning the plates at the end of every meal, is it crusted in garbanzo bean? It sure is.
Sure
is. It's wonderful. But I just love that the base for like every fucking meal, just the artistry of watching, you know, our head chef back there, her name was Amal. She was amazing. She would just swirl that hummus around with a spatula to get like the bowl effect. You're like, what am I at the Greek theater right now? Look at the layers. This is
it's a just pool. So it's a pool with walls.
Yup, and oil.
And the dusting. And a, you dust. I don't even know what that spice is called anymore, but you dust
sumac.
It. Sumac
action. Or on
even,
top.
Even a little paprika, mm-hmm. you know, just mm-hmm. for that beautiful Happy. Orange color. Mm-hmm. But I hope everyone is celebrating. What do you do on International Hummus Day? Okay, here's what you do. Here's some ideas. Make your own hummus, you bitch.
Just in case, the key to really good hummus is actually, it's not the garbanzo beans, it's the
tahin. All day, baby. Mm-hmm. No, you go wild with tahin and oil and yeah. It's trial and error until you get it to the consistency and flavor that makes your mouth sing. But I love a slippery hummus, slippery, creamy. I don't know. I could eat my weight in hummus.
I love the number two is try out a new hummus flavor, you piece of shit.
This article doesn't really say that we're ad-libbing. And then attend the hummus festival, you whore.
And I'm sorry, there's like, a hummus festival? I chose three. Yeah. I drove all night to get here. where are the hummus festivals at?
Okay. They didn't feel like, you know, really expanding on that. But basically they're like, go on Facebook and just look it up, idiot. Go find your local hummus festival, dummy.
If I knew where to find it. In Michigan, I could imagine in like Dearborn.
Absolutely. And that's where I worked. Yeah. I worked outside of Dearborn in that whole area.
Every day largest. A fucking hummus festival in that area. You know what I'm
it
saying?
It is.
What also, restaurant did you work at?
Have you ever heard of Lashish?
Yes.
I used to work there. Oh, yeah. I forgot we've got that in common. Yeah.
Lashish was the nicest, was one of the best Mid-Eastern restaurants in the Detroit area.
I crave it. Yeah. I crave that.
They also had really good pita. You know, you can hummus till the cows come home, or in this case, the garbanzos come home. But it's the pita.
Yep.
You've got to have the good vehicle to get it into your face.
Yep. The wood fire, the beautiful bread oven, and it'd always be the cutest little goofballs working the pita pit all night long. Goddamn. But they would throw in the flat little patties of dough. Mm-hmm. And just the most beautiful thing ever to see them puff up, get the tiniest little burn on them. Then they throw them in a basket and you go out there with the garlic sauce and the hummus and everyone is happy. It's a beautiful way to live life.
Really. Oh, God, you guys. Well, I hope you're all enjoying and celebrating your International Hummus Day.
And let us know if you find a hummus festival, okay? Because that would probably be our first gig that we book, Andrea. A hummus festival in Bakersfield.
The
or
hottest
something like
hummus
that.
Festival in the south of... Yeah.
You guys deserve to be MCs at a hummus festival. Absolutely. 1,000%.
Thank you.
I have MC'd a dog fashion show, so I am building a resume.
Wait,
toward
I have MC'd a dog costume show.
One day we
all need to sit down and just go through all of the random gigs we've had, not just as like our side hustles, but like as what we've done for comedy money, like the shit we've emceed. It's too much.
And it
gets dark, you know, when you take comedy and extend it to the utmost length where you're like, can I have this job? I do comedy. And they're like, Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I also like when you like insert comedy into like situations where people just didn't think any comedy was going to be there in the first place and you're just like,
and they hate you. They hate you. Yep. Them's the rules.
Well, let's pop over to this next headline that we found was that James Cromwell otherwise known as Jamie Cromwell, in the beginning of his acting career when he was the dad in Revenge of the Nerds. Actually,
but guys, also he's the ornery uncle in Succession who won't give Greg the egg his money.
Oh, he's Ewan. He's Ewan
George.
Roy.
This is he's the most George from 6 feet under.
This is the most Ewan Roy move ever that actual James Cromwell did. He's a big PETA supporter, has been for years. He's actually an honorary
dictator. PETA.
Whoa, okay? Wait, Brooke, did you do that on purpose?
I'm not trying to mess you up. PETA.
Yeah, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, that PETA. So he super glued himself to the counter of a Starbucks in New York, protesting the chain's surcharge on vegan milks. So, you know, I agree.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I agree. Yes. So Starbucks charges roughly 70 cents extra for dairy alternatives, which include soy, coconut, almond milks, and oat milks, depending on the city. So Starbucks recently dropped the surcharge in the UK because Sir Paul McCartney. They got him to fucking write a huge letter and be like, no, sorry, bloke. This is not, I'm going to keep going.
So all you need is a strongly worded Yelp review to make change, like I
from a former beetle.
You have to be a knighted person,
right? Mm-hmm. And that's just in the UK. So you know, the cops came eventually and they got him out of there. But I do think it's a really good beginning of a conversation. And PETA's been trying to like do away with this for years and years and years. So we're just kind of catching wind of it.
Well, it's also it like in many ways. So not only does it puts the price, literally the price falls on the shoulders of people with digestive problems, mm-hmm. religious problems. If it's just ethically and culturally, they're like, we don't, you know, we just don't do cow milk or regular animal milk, any of that stuff. And it right. And it's also like, so he was yelling very correctly about certain ethnicities and cultures do not have enzymes genetically that break down milk. So you're like just discriminating against entire races of people mm-hmm. who don't tolerate dairy very well. Here's the other thing too, right? I'm like, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but there's a vegan coffee shop that I want to love so hard that's walking distance from my house.
Name names.
Little Barn.
Never heard of it.
I'm in Glassell, so I don't know if you ever wander over to this neck of the woods. But so because they are vegan restaurant, right? It's like, okay, so you're going to have the plant-based version of everything. I get it. So there is no normal, whatever is considered the free or cheaper milk. But to get a coffee, it's then $1
to add some sort of
to add milk when there's no choice. And they're like, oh, well, you want a plant-based milk? And I'm like, well, yeah
that's your
well,
thing.
That's your whole
that's what brought me here. The plant-based situation. You've built
I can't
your business
have now. Right. Where it's just like bake it into the price, you knuckleheads.
I'm gonna pour myself some coffee right now while we're talking about this. I made myself.
I'm not having coffee for the next 2 weeks and just talking about coffee. I'm doing ayahuasca in 2 weekends.
Ooh. Oh hell yeah, girl.
So one of the preparations for it is no caffeine. So just this conversation is
triggering you. Yeah. Sorry.
But there is nothing. Nothing better than, and when I worked at a cafe on Melrose for 6 years, top of every shift, straight to the espresso machine.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
line them up.
That, I mean, it's all I wanted. And I loved, and I have to say making foam with regular milk versus any alternative milk sucks. So alternative milks don't foam the way regular milk does.
Right, I will stand up for oat milk, the barista blend. I will give it.
But yes. I want to crunch numbers. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to like see side by side, especially with like the huge explosion that like oat milk, almond milk, soy milk, like all these super options now. Like, I feel like they're going to be on par, if not like the same, you know, like same prices like across the board, unless, you know, I would
also
assume.
It's like Starbucks. Just fucking eat the difference. You're
eat
fine.
The difference because
you're already charging a fucking arm and a fucking cunt for your fucking drinks.
Yeah, like, you're also like pushing your employees so hard to not unionize. You're also like not, right. There's so much hot water that Starbucks has been in lately. Yeah. You know, just the hot water is just waiting for the shot of espresso to make an Americano. That's how much
you
hot
know what I'm
it's
saying?
Like that. That water is
you know what I'm
hot.
Saying?
That's water. It's hot. Also, I'm drinking out of my mug I made. That's why I also made a bunch of coffee.
It looks. It
Where
looks
did you make that mug? It's really cute.
Cobalt and clay on Riverside. I took a pottery class. This is definitely the saddest piece, but she's mighty. It's the cup of a carpenter. She could be better, but I love her. I love her.
I mean, I think it's really cute. And it also inspires me to want to. I used to do pottery in high school.
It's so fun. I would highly recommend.
It's so fun. All right. Well, I'm gonna ask you about that later on.
So many extras to talk about. We're going to need bonus content. Bonus, but yeah, I vote. I think we shouldn't be charged for all the extra shit. And just
if you are. Yeah. Especially if it's a corporation where they have to factor in all this crazy cost, their upcharges are already insane. We know damn well that iced coffee is the biggest ripoff on the face of the planet, you know?
My mom found the hack for that. She'll order the latte or the drink or whatever. And then once she gets the drink, she'll be like, can I just get a little cup of ice?
And you know, I can't keep my mouth shut, Andrea. I was like, she's pouring it in the wrong, because she's getting a hot latte. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you melt the ice, then you just have a watered down drink.
You know what?
Let her have it.
She's all the wiser for what she does. And like, mm-hmm. I'm sure she's like, this is the most fucking delicious thing I've ever tasted in my whole life.
She waits a little bit till it cools off.
Uh-huh.
So her process is on the way to work every morning.
She's got to bake in 15 extra minutes.
Goes through the drive-thru, gets her drink. By the time she gets to her office, it's cooled down enough. And then she does the transferoo.
Well, there you go.
I love it. All right. Well, you guys, let's pop out of headlines and pop into some server
submitted.
Oh, stories.
Stories.
Some of those. We have two stories today coming at you guys. I'll go first. First story. Hey, ladies, I was listening to your most recent episode and the listener who said that they'd write back in about a restaurant police chase. Story reminded me of a quick antidote of my own. It was a busy Saturday night shift at my Irish pub in Seattle. The place was packed with Seahawks fans celebrating a recent win. People were getting sloppy as they danced to our house band, the Kennedy Brothers, who were playing the same Tom Petty heavy set they played literally every Saturday night. As the night descended into extra sloppiness, I noticed a couple making out in the back room. And then suddenly several police officers stormed the pub. They stormed in the back room where the couple was making out. And after a minute, they exited the pub, dragging the guy behind them and laughing. Apparently, the dude was an on-duty officer who had turned his radio off and then met up with his wife for a quick makeout sesh. Our tax dollars at work. Love the pod as always, ladies. That's from Sonnet. What a weird thing to witness.
Yeah. Cool. It's like there's no middle ground. There's no gray area with these police officers. Yeah, yeah. They're either beating the snot out of you if you're a minority, or their radio's off and they're making out with their wife.
Hey, was she just their part? She must have like just been there already, right? Do you think, or were they just what kind of crowd of bar are we gonna fucking hook up in tonight, you sick fuck husband? Let's do it. Are they that couple, you know?
By the way, sure. Any man who still has that much gusto for making out with his wife mid-shift, good for him.
I agree.
Like, I hope someone, if I've been with them, if I'm married, that they still have this like burning desire for me where it's like, I want to play hooky and make out with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I really hope they were progressing to fucking in the back of this pub.
Yes. I certainly would hope so. If the radio is off, you know, you can't just, you know, you can't. What could it be like? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a funny
How
police call in.
He was there.
Maybe that's their spot.
They're like, we got a 69er.
That's what I'm
next.
Saying. Yeah, that's what I was leaning toward that. But yeah, we got a 69er. Oh, fucking Chet's with fucking his wife in the back room of that fucking bar again. Ugh, it's going to be full of Seahawks fans and the fucking Kennedys.
The Kennedy Brothers.
The Kennedy Brothers are playing.
What a name.
She gets so wet when the Kennedy Brothers play. That's what they do. The Kennedy Brothers get her every time.
Lord almighty.
I was just in Seattle, and I gotta say, I don't... The whole Irish vibe, there's not a lot of Irish people there.
Yeah, but people still love a fucking Irish pub. You could put one anywhere and it's going to be packed, I would think. I do really think that.
I mean, that definitely is an establishment where you're going in there and you're like, I'm drinking with reckless abandon here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not pulling any punches on these drinks. All the drinks going straight into the face.
It's a fact. I love that.
I love that. You know, we all know that the Irish bars, too, usually kind of like are in cahoots. Yeah, I've seen The Departed. I've seen The Irish Guy or whatever that movie is called.
I've and seen the Irishman. Portrayal of the it's Irish called people the in Irish... Hollywood.
I've seen The Irish Guy. I've seen it. I've seen Darby O'Gill and the Little People. I fucking know.
By the way, I dated an Irish guy. Mm-hmm. Oof. Wow. Expert level. Was that alcoholism?
Could be, oh, okay.
Expert level. Like, by the way, Irishmen don't get whiskey dick. They just drank right through it. They have evolved. That's Darwinism right there. Every man in Ireland is just like fucking whiskey dick. Fucking what are you 14? Learn how to drink. Yeah.
Whiskey's essentially Viagra in Ireland, is what you're saying.
Uh-huh. I mean, I only have been with one Irish guy, so. But I will say there was no whiskey dick. He was drinking whiskey and he sure had a dick.
So it's like what you wish whiskey dick was.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah,
that's totally.
He's got a whiskey dick right now.
Oh my God, where do I stand?
Yeah.
Look at that whiskey. Bold, inspiring dick.
It does seem more like a positive statement when you really like, you know, think about it, but. Oh, well. All right. Well good
moving
story,
on.
Sonnet. Yes. Let's get.
Thank you as always. Hello, loving the add-ons. These are our new episodes on Mondays. Get into it, everybody. They're short little bursts of flavor in your mouth. Okay, so I've gotten pretty excited about the bun coffee maker episode, but especially about the non-slip shoes. Here's the history of my non-slip shoe life. Am I triggering you yet, Nicole? Oof. Okay.
I still have mine.
You can never throw them away. They have to live in your closet forever.
I mean, what if I get an audition for a waitress? I need to show up ready for the part.
With the realness. For your authentic and grounded portrayal of a server. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A job that I very often sometimes have to consider going back to. Okay, my first pair of hideous black non-slip shoes came from a local Payless, obviously, for somewhere around $20. And those shoes wore out far too quickly. So then I found some for about $40 in the Shoes for Cruise magazine that was sent to the restaurant. Those seemed to last a little bit longer, but still wore out on the inside where my heel would rub. Eventually, I progressed to the more expensive $50 to $60 Skechers tennis shoe. Ended up buying the same pair for many a year until I started to have some major knee and hip pain. So I went to a Red Wing shoe store, got some fancy ass insoles that cost $50. They were a game changer. Any pain I had was gone. So once my tennis Skechers tennis shoes wore out, went back to the Red Wing shoe store to find an even higher quality pair of shoes to go with these new insoles. I ended up getting a pair of shoes for $140. Add on the $50 insoles. Holy moly. I was rocking some expensive shoe setups, but we only get one body, so we've got to take care of it. They were some good quality shoes, but it almost seemed like the traction on the bottom wore out far too quickly. After a few pairs of these Red Wing shoes, I eventually discovered clogs with a K. It's new to me. They are a great lightweight leather slip-on shoe along with my insoles, which I have now found on Amazon for a little bit cheaper than the shoe store price. Hot tip, anyone looking for a new pair of shoes. So I always tell any new hires or coworkers, they need to spend good money on good shoes because it changes everything. That's my quick non-slip shoe history over the past 18 years of my life in the service industry. Godspeed, good health, good tips. And good shoes from our lovely friend Simon.
Oh, good follow up.
Simon, the fact that you remembered as much about shoes is absolutely incredible. He's the kind of guy who could take orders without a notepad.
He is. We're having him on the podcast very soon,
We're very super excited about it. Yeah, I love this evolution, dude. And you have to. This is just like how you grow up in life anyway. Like this evolution is like, I feel like you're, you know, this is life and how you live it.
It does coincide with getting older and your body just naturally failing you where you do have to start to make better choices. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. The trend of just cute ass, like thick soled tennis shoes as acceptable going out looks for women. I'm like, sign me up. Mm-hmm.
Also triggering. Like I'm kind of caught between the two spaces where I'm like, yes, yes, yes. But also, oh my God, I remember working doubles. And then I want to cry.
Yeah.
Like, if those shoes could get me through a double, then they can get me through, you know, life in LA. I don't know. I don't know what I'm even going to be doing in them here in LA. But
fair enough. Fair enough. I hear you. The footwear is key. But I'm just saying, as I get older, I'm leaning into the comfort. I reserve the tippy toe fucking bullshit that I used to do. I don't even get it. This is what I don't understand. I wore the most outrageous foot crushing shoes my entire time in New York City. I would go to get things rehealed because I would grind down mm-hmm. heels, literally pounding pavement mm-hmm. for years on end. All my shoes were so fucking fucked up. Then I move to car/beach/lazy bum city where you can literally pay money to just go. And it's just how this city works. Cannot put on a fucking heel to save my life. I've just fully turned into like beach bum lifestyle.
Totally. And it's because you're just that's a muscle that's just not being exercised in your body anymore. Or maybe once you stop doing it, your body was
hurt.
Like, enough. No more.
I feel very equine, very horse-like when I hoist the whole goddamn rig forward in some shoes that are tall and have heels. I'm like, whoa, these muscles have atrophied. Mm-hmm. And it's like very uncomfortable. And I'm just like, woof. I grew an ass over the pandemic. I'm very proud of her.
Yeah, I'm pulling a wagon back there. pulling a load. Yeah, there's something just so sexy about a sensible shoe, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's really good advice to be like, if I could work a double on these, then like they're the shoe for me. They're the shoe for me. Like, and that's the test.
I was a Dansko bitch. Those mm-hmm. were my always my waitressing shoes.
Dansko's got some cute as fuck shoes now, by the way.
Yeah, I saw
nice options.
So many options. They're also like the big nurse shoes, hospital mm-hmm. shoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you guys, as always, thank you so much for sending in your server submitted stories. If you've been inspired by anything you've heard or have a chestnut you've been sitting on, send it our way at sidewarepod@gmail.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, let's get into it.
Since you brought up your Danskos, you bitch. let's. I know it's so funny to say you bitch.
Call me a bitch, dumb. Please.
I feel safe doing that with you. So we are here to talk with you about your much celebrated time in the service industry. We'd connected a few times back. Fun fact. We have served some dinners together for our unhoused community with Neela.
Nice.
I really, really miss that. And I'd like to get back into it.
It is really great. I recently started doing a volunteering with this group. I forget what it's called. It's a church group in Riverside, and they go downtown to mm-hmm. Skid Row area every Sunday night, and they give out clothes and hot meals. So there's a food line that you can go through, and at the end of the food line, there's clothes. And I did the clothes the other weekend, and they were like, they were like, you know, if you're comfortable around like handing out food, next time you come, you can do the food. I was like, comfortable handing out food.
Funny you mentioned.
I will fucking run that line. I will take everyone through start to finish. No problem. I'll make to-go plates. How do you want this bitch done?
Do you want it wrapped up in a foil swan shape?
Yeah, I will.
I got you.
Swan you.
So that being said, tell us about like your first foray. Where did you start in the service industry? Since I now know you're a fellow Michigander.
I actually like, I'm trying to think all of the jobs I had when I was in Michigan, none of them were restaurant jobs. It was, it was retail. Retail. And then I did in college, I was a webpage designer, but then I moved to LA and I was like, I'm going to be an actress and I have to get an actress job. But I had never waited tables and I met this person and they were an actor as well. And they were like, just lie on your resume. You'll get a job working in a restaurant. They're like, you've been to a restaurant before. You know how it works. You can be a server. And I was like, okay. Right. So I created,
That's very reductive.
After he said that, I was like, oh, that's fucking bullshit. Anywho. I got a job working as a hostess at a restaurant called Josie in Santa Monica. It was very, very, very fine dining. Hostessing of all the restaurant jobs I've had, my least favorite, absolutely the worst. Everybody treats you like shit. You're the front man for the restaurant and people just treat you like a servant. And then you don't really get tipped at all. Like you get tipped out marginally. So I worked there. And the sommelier at the restaurant was this like kind of like cute older guy and was so mean to me the whole time I worked there. And he was the sommelier and kind of like the GM of sorts. And
that's
the
way
owner,
too much power. That's like too way too much double power. Stuff. That's like double trouble.
And the staff. I had to go in. I was a day shift hostess. So I had to go in and to take the reservations during the day. And then I'd stay to the night to seat people. So I'd go in around like noon and start taking people's reservations, whatever. And that's when, you know, the whole staff would get there for food prep, and Josie, the head chef, owner of the restaurant, and this other fucking bitch, the sous chef. Oh, what a fucking cunt. I cannot remember her name. And if I could, I would say it. I'd out that bitch in a second. Just mean. Just the two of them bullies combined with my like direct boss, this guy. His name was Kent. I'll say his name. Kent Wagerman. Let's say the full name.
Cunt Wagerman.
Hold on. It gets better. The whole story is a whole thing. They were just kind of like always like mean to me. I was like 22. I didn't know shit from Shinola. And one day they were reading a letter. So this was before Yelp, just to give you an idea of how old I am. This was before Yelp. So if a person had a problem with a restaurant, they would just type up a letter and send it into the restaurant and to complain. So Josie had gotten a letter and she was reading it to the sous chef. And she was like, can you believe this fucking guy sent in this letter, blah, blah. Reading the letter, and at some point the person in the letter says my wife and me, and Josie turns to the sous chef and she's like, my wife and me, you mean my wife and I? You can't even get that right and you're trying to complain. And I heard it and I was like, actually it is my wife and me, because of, you know, where the function is in the sentence, you know, they're not the subject of the sentence, they're the object of the sentence. Anyways, so I was like, keep your mouth shut Nicole, and out of my mouth came, actually he was right.
Oh, girl.
And Josie and this other girl turned to me. They're like, oh, really? And then the sous chef, whatever that cunt's name, was like, all right, little miss English major. And I was like, actually, I was pre-med and I was an art history major. So it's like, I didn't really like, but I get it. Next day I come in, Kent is there and he's like, hey, we're going to have to let you go. I was like, I'm sorry, did I just get fired for correcting someone's English as they were correcting someone's English?
Good. I'm fucking glad. Fuck that place forever.
Got fired. And then 6 months later, ran into Kent at a grocery store at Whole Foods in Brentwood. And then we started dating.
Oh, I was like, I knew you
right, 'cause you're
planting
cute.
A little seed.
That was my seed. Kent.
That's,
I was like, you were so mean to me. He's like, you were such a fucking young, dumb idiot. I was like, that was 6 months ago. Do you think I'm not a young, dumb idiot anymore?
I was going to say, like, now I'm 22 and a half.
Dumb as I was then.
He's like, you ever heard of this band, the Kennedy Brothers?
He's like, that's my favorite band in Seattle. They're going to have a national tour. So that was that. And then I took other like random jobs. I was like, worked in an art gallery, worked as a receptionist, did cold calls, did a bunch of jobs. And then I just joined the real working world for many years and then gave up on acting and everything. And then eventually came back to it and started doing stand up. And I had to get another waitressing job. And I was like, yep. Oh, here we go again. So there was this restaurant on Melrose called Sal's. And it was also a comedy club. So it was a restaurant in the front and a comedy club in the back. And I was like, listen, Sal, I'm just going to be straight with you. I don't have any waitressing experience, really. I was like, I was a hostess. I was like, I've been in a restaurant. I spent a lot of time in a restaurant in my life. You know, I was like, but I've never. He's like, all right. He's like, just give me 2 weeks as a hostess. He's like, I'll teach you how to waitress. And I was like, all right, cool. 2 weeks as a hostess. And then he like slowly started like giving me shifts. He would like give me slow daytime shifts. And he like just taught me everything I needed to know about working in a restaurant. And then I was there at Sal's for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
And at one point I left and then I went to, I really liked, so I like worked my way up. So I was like a waitress and then I was the manager.
Which I want to get into. We'll unpack that after we
and then I,
get the timeline.
And then one of the guys that I worked with at Josie opened up a bar called Big Wang's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
I know Big Wang's.
Uh-huh. So he opened up Big Wang's. And then I had gotten into a fight with Sal. And I was like, fuck it, I'm not working here anymore. And then I randomly ran into my friend who owned Big Wang's. And he's like, hey, I'm looking for a GM. Do you want to be a GM? I was like, sure. Yeah.
You're like, if you need me, I'll be at Big Wang's.
Yeah. I was like, bye, Sal. I'm on to bigger and better Wang's.
Which location? Hollywood? Or, like, was it the Hollywood location or the
Hollywood
North Hollywood?
And North Hollywood.
And both? Okay. Both. All right.
I did both locations. Mm-hmm. So I worked at both of those locations. I worked there for about a year and a half. And I did not waitress at all. I was only managing there. Every now and then, if everybody was getting like, you know, slammed, I would like jump on the floor and like help out and like run. And, you know, people would bitch about, the one thing I loved working at Big Wang's was I could fucking give attitude back to the customers.
Oh,
like at Sal's, I would never have done that because it was like a nicer, like, I don't know. It was like a mom and pop shop. Like I would never have fucked with people.
Right.
But at Big Wang's, if somebody returned a drink, like, and they had drank half of it, and I'm like, how was the first half? You seem to have gotten through that pretty well. You now you want to return it? You don't think the second half is going to be like the first half that you already consumed?
I think we should like say Big Wang's is like a sports. It's a sportsy, wingy bar.
It's a sports. With like, it's a sports bar. That's
it's a happy hour place where people, you know, wouldn't you say?
Yep. It's open all day. Like it's open for lunch, but it is mainly happy hour. You know, like on. There was a certain day of the week in Hollywood where it was like $1 wings or 50 mm-hmm. cent wings.
Damn.
It was something crazy. And those were the shifts where I was like, I can't work those shifts. Those shifts got way too crazy for me.
Yeah. I think that's the kind of work you guys like. Do you just want to spend an extra dollar and get like a, like 10 more ounces of beer in your glass or whatever? Mm-hmm. Was that like a situation?
You could upsell upsell everybody for a dollar pretty much on almost anything.
Yeah. And people
for
are
just
there
a
to
dollar
like,
more for just a dollar more for just a dollar more for a dollar more. Leave here.
Yeah.
Super drunk and having diarrhea.
Totally. And people are there. I mean, and it's sports bar. So you're getting campers, like, right? It's a weird vibe.
Oh, yeah. It is a camp the fuck out vibe. People are there for like the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people like stop ordering and it's just like, all right, let's fucking order up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it going. Yeah. Or I'm going to have to drop the check on your ass. I would love to talk about what it was like stepping out of server role into manager territory. Was there a shift between you and your coworkers? Did you feel like you were like, I'm one of you and I want to be the best manager you've ever had? Do tell. Spill the beans.
Did I thrive?
Spill the garbanzo beans.
Why? Yes, I did. I mean, I was always meant to be a manager. Like, that is where I really found my stride. It was so at Sal's, I mean, at that point I was like the most senior waitress. Mm-hmm. So I was already like running the floor anyways. So then it turned into, you know, I wasn't doing any of the, I was really just like a shift manager more than I was like, I wasn't really managing schedules. It was more of like a shift floor manager.
You were
of,
like, I have the key card to void things. Like,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have the code. So that was all on me. I was like, and it was great because it was like, if I saw somebody like struggling with a table, I could just be like, hey, we're going to send them over something. And it just, you really learn like how to just, I don't know, like make people feel like really special. So then the server gets a good tip and then everybody's happy.
See, and let's pause.
This is beautiful what you're saying.
Let's stop to define the fact that Nicole's talking about being a good manager, mm-hmm. yeah. not the typical shitbag manager.
Right.
So
I'm a people pleaser. So I wanted to do right by everybody. I wanted my employees to love me. Like, oh my, I probably managed like 20 girls when I was at Big Wang's. And I still keep in touch with a lot of them.
I love that.
And they're like, yeah, were you the best manager? No, but were you cool with everyone? Yep. Like, I was the manager where people had to be like, because there was an office upstairs at Big Wang. So they would be like, Nicole, can you come down? I'd be like, I'm right there. But like, I always made everything like, okay, I made everything good. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm not like the most on top of it person. But like, yeah, I like the whole customer service thing. Like, you can really take it to another level as a manager. Because giving free shit right. to people, huh?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's really tough. Yeah, and it's very much like as a server, you live in such fear of exerting that power where you're like, yeah, I'm going to use my get out of jail free card for the table's sake, but my manager is going to kill me.
Yeah,
sort of thing when you're dealing with that kind of energy. And it's just like, you know, yeah, as a server, it doesn't feel good. It feels like you're going to get talked to
yeah.
when a free situation yes. happens. But then, yeah, the manager coming through being like, got to keep status quo.
Yeah.
Everyone happy, you know?
Yeah, there's things where it's like, you know, if I would let servers know if they were in a situation where I'd be like, just offer, you could always offer them this. This was the one right. thing that would like always be like, okay. And then if shit were still bad, it would be like, all right, just comp something else. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm a really big believer in like, there are a lot of things in a restaurant you can give away for free. And it's not going to cost the restaurant that much. And it's going to make everyone that much happier.
Mm-hmm. It's very psychological. It's very validating. It shows the table, you know, that you're like, we are on it. We are trying to fix it. We yeah. want you to leave, please. And yeah. we hope if you're not a total turd that you'll come back.
I think one of the things that always like bothered me about being a server is that I do think working in a restaurant should be mandatory for every human being.
That's what like, we say all the time.
This is just, you know, even if it's for a month, every single person should have to work in a restaurant mm-hmm. or a clothing store. You should have to pick up after people.
Yeah, it should be like your summer abroad, you know?
Yeah,
but
it is a mandatory thing that every human being should have. And it's you see the customers who you can tell were like, oh, you've never worked a customer service job a day in your life the way you're treating me.
Yeah.
Because those right. people treat you. It's like, I am your server. I am not your servant. Like, I am not here to do, I am at your beck and call. Like, that is not what I am. I am here to give you a dining experience, and you are here to treat me like a person who's doing that. Like, it was really, really hard. And if I saw customers being shitty to my servers, I'd yeah, be like, you have to go. Bye.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't give a fuck. You can go put your fucking poorly worded Yelp review up. Go for it. Go talk shit about the manager, the loud manager with glasses. I don't give a fuck. Nothing to me. With the
Who
owner,
was that? Was that you? Oh, just kidding.
What? yeah, it was yeah, being a manager was like, I also really loved, so I was a GM at Big Wang. So I did the buying. So I would have to do like inventory for everything. And then, you know, based on that, we would figure out like food order and like alcohol order. But that was fun just because I love taking inventory, you know.
You're like, just give me a fucking clipboard and I give thrive. Me a
clipboard and I go, I'm taking an inventory. I got how many Red Bulls do we have? I loved it.
Give me a clipboard and give me peace. I'll be upstairs if you need me.
If you guys need anything, I'll be in the walk-in counting wings.
Yeah, yeah. I was constantly in the walk-in where it was like the alcohol. And I was like, I'm in here. Just leave me alone.
Yeah. And what's great is they couldn't even pin anything on you because you, unlike most restaurant employees, you were not stealing or guzzling the alcohol.
Yeah.
You could be trusted around.
Never
how wonderful.
A problem with me. Never a problem.
So great.
Yeah, I definitely.
You're kind of a unicorn.
Yeah, I'm kind of the best person. I also at one point sold drugs. I sold weed out of when I was working at Sal's. I sold weed at Sal's. And the guy had a grow. And sold weed legally, but then he would have all the extra, the shake that he couldn't sell to the stores. So he would give me that to sell. And he would be like, you don't even need to pay me up front. He's like, I totally trust you. He's like, you don't smoke weed. So you're not, I don't have to worry about you doing it. So while I was working at Sal's, I would be, you know, people would be like getting fucking wasted on bottomless mimosas. And I would be like, you know, what would be really good right now? A joint. And guess who's got it? Yeah, so I was selling fucking weed.
You were like the sober. You're someone who just truly loves a good business transaction.
Oh, fucking,
you know, let the product be damned. Let the reputation of it be damned.
Love it. I was on the road with Dave Attell this past weekend, and he
I
was
know.
Like,
congrats, thanks. He's so nice.
He's the best. But he was like, can you help me sell merch? I was like, can I help you sell merch? Yes, I can. By the end of the first day, he was like, oh my God. He's like, you are like really good at sales. And I was like, it's where I thrive. Customer service, man. You want me to move product? I will move product.
Manager on duty. M-O-T. Speaking of, we have some t-shirts that we need to push and sell.
M-O-D?
Manager on duty, baby.
Oh, I'm gonna need one of those immediately. Yeah,
you should have an MOD shirt that you wear. Like,
we should make one. Ours say established in 86, like the way it says, like on restaurants or whatever. I want to send you one because we love you.
Oh, and it's I'm 1,000% gonna wear it.
I'm gonna gift it to you. It's a cute little ringer tee.
Thank you.
For everyone else listening, they're still $15. No ifs, ands, or buts. And listen, they will just
to
sit
everybody
in my garage.
Who's listening, if you like this podcast, here's the fun thing about merch and podcast merch specifically. It's a conversation piece. If you are the kind of person who doesn't have a lot to say because you got a bad personality and you take all of your information from podcasts you listen to,
right.
Wear a podcast t-shirt. It's a conversation starter. It'll give you something to say because your dumb fucking head doesn't have something to say anyways. So wear the t-shirt. Be a more interesting person. You're welcome.
I think I'm going to buy one of my own t-shirts after listening to you.
Where?
With that sales pitch.
I'm so into, I used to never wear things with stuff on it, but I was like, oh, this can do the heavy lifting. I don't even, it's like having boobs. Like, like your boobs are automatically distracting anyone from, you don't have to have say anything if you have boobs, but if you have a t-shirt, it gives you something to say. It gives you something to talk about. So I've just started buying t-shirts with shit on them now because I'm just like, this will be a conversation piece. This will get me somewhere in a conversation and I don't even have to do the work.
Yep, I know. I have a really great hat that just says, I hate it here on the hat and I forget that I'm wearing it a lot and I'll just be in somewhere doing a transaction and someone just gets the biggest fucking smile on their face and I'm like, oh, they saw the hat. I made them laugh. Yay.
Or they start smiling at you and you forgot you're wearing the hat and you're like, why the fuck is this person?
Oh, wow, what a psycho. Very calm down. Smile. I know I'm beautiful, but calm down.
Whenever we start our new MOD manager on duty segment, we'll have you come in and, you know, Nicole will just give sound advice every now and then. Just chime in.
Here's a fun manager on duty story that happened.
Oh, hell,
so,
please.
At the bar, if someone was, you know, getting drunk and unruly. So we had bouncers starting at, I think, 5 o'clock every night. Bouncers, we'd have security, because that's the witching hour. That's when shit gets fucking weird. So from then till close till 2 a.m., we'd always have bouncers. All of them just huge dudes, just like walls of men. And one time, many times we'd have customers like get unruly and we'd have to be like, sorry, you need to leave. You're too drunk. Bye-bye. And then occasionally you'd have to 86 someone. So when you kick someone out of a bar and you're telling them they can never come back, you actually have to have this like, so I'd have to have, you know, witnesses, including the bouncer. So I would be like, I'd have to say their name. Like, just literally, you just had to say it out loud and other people just had to be there to hear it, where you were like, you are 86 from this establishment.
You cast
this. You are legally never allowed to come back. If you do, we will call the police and have you removed. So you had to go through this whole spiel all the time. So one time there was this dude who was just getting out of control.
At Big Wang's, it just doesn't add up.
That makes absolutely no sense. Was it a Raiders game? Absolutely. So there was a guy just getting out of control. And I walk up to him, I'm like, hey, sir, I'm going to need you to like bring it down. You're a little too drunk. We're going to have to pump the brakes. And we had cut him off and he got pissed. I was like, we're cutting you off. You just need to take some downtime. I was like, you're too much right now. I'm 5'9". I'm 140. I'm not a tiny person. Mm-hmm. Okay. This man, bigger than me, puts his chest in my face and he's like, what are you going to do about it? And I was like, shocked that this was happening, because I was like, oh my god, this man is huge, what the fuck. And of course in my mind I was like, okay, don't, because there's this like feisty part of me that like wants to fight, because I was like, I was just gonna fucking knee the guy in the dick,
right?
But I was like, this guy is bigger than you, don't do that. And he's like, what are you gonna do about it? And I was like, well, this. And then I look over to the security guard, whatever the security guard's name was, I was like, Eric, this guy out. And he looked at this, and this guy was big, but Eric was like fucking
bigger,
like a 400 pound, like wall, like 6'8" black guy, just like a wall, a mammoth of a man coming towards this guy. And he looks at Eric and he goes, oh, and then takes off running and runs into the bathroom. And then Eric had his little security thing on his lapel and he's like, we got a runner. Goes into the bathroom. And one of the other security guards, he's like, do you need help? I was like, I think Eric might have it, but like maybe go in there for like a little backup. And like 1 minute later, not even, Eric walks out of there holding the guy by the back of his shirt, like dangling him off the ground, basically carrying him out. And I was like, I got to go do my 86 thing. So I like walk up to the front. So Eric's just holding the dude there. And I was like,
I picture you too with like old timey scrolls.
Yeah. You know, I think you're like, you read, I bind you from harming yourself and harming others. Like you're doing
a 1,000%. I'm like, once
Big Wang's here decrees, thou shall not cross the threshold of said establishment.
That is 1,000% like how it should have been done. So I was like, all right. I was like, sir, you are no longer allowed at the establishment. You've been legally 86, blah, blah, blah. And then he turns to me and he goes, fine, I didn't want to come here anyways. And I was like, did a grown man just like use middle school comeback?
Fine, whatever.
Come here anyways. I was like,
please, isn't that good anyways?
And then finally I lost it. I was like, all right, get the fuck out of here, you bitch. And then the bouncer was like, good one, Nicole.
Yeah.
Real tough. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, majority of my time at Big Wang's was spent dealing with drunk people.
Mm-hmm.
And then dealing with like, dude, alcohol vendors are the best. They'd always come in with like fun stuff, t-shirts, swag, like, wait, oh no, I thought I was wearing,
nice.
I have a PBR, like a PBR, like just so much fun shit. And they would always like, they'd give you like gift certificates and like stuff. They were like pharmaceutical drug reps, but mm-hmm. like really, really irresponsible people.
Oh, like, yeah. I got so many coasters for you guys. You don't even know.
So many. And then, yeah, that was pretty much like the meat of it was like, you know, drunk people. I've cleaned vomit off walls. I've cleaned diarrhea off walls. I've paid busboys in free dinners for a week to clean up messes that I didn't want to clean up. I was like, you get free dinner every night. It's yours, whatever you want. Drinks, dinner and drinks, free. Just you clean it. I don't want to do it. Because as a manager, you had to do it. Oh, and note this. I don't know if anyone's spoken about this. Bathrooms, men's versus women's bathrooms. Has anyone touched on this?
Oh, yeah. Women's
are the worst.
Crime scene.
Oh, my God. Women are absolute monsters.
Mm-hmm. Like monsters. One starts the, it's just a domino effect. Like one woman pees on a seat and then everybody else just follows suit. Like, oh, are we doing this now? Like,
Lisa Traeger has a joke about women peeing on toilet seats. Like, is that what we just do? Mm-hmm. That's just socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. We just pee on seats.
We are.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to sit. And Lisa's like, I want to sit. I'm like, that's disgusting. I would never sit. By the way, I've also worked at Costco.
Nice.
Best bathroom cleaning is at Costco.
There we go. That's they good do. To know. They
that
keep
makes
it.
Tons yeah. of sense to me.
Also, mm-hmm. I do have to say, in pandemic times, everyone just got real germ freaky. So now is our window in time and space to sit on that public restroom toilet, ladies.
Yeah, totally. And obviously it depends on the restroom. Something tells me that, like, you know, the bathrooms at Josie were probably a lot more pristine than the bathrooms at Big Wings, but like,
yeah,
it's a lot. Holy shit, man. Best manager ever. Manager of the century. I don't know. Yeah. And I got like such deep feels of like the stash of like rep merch, like on the file cabinet in the office. So that's where it's all kept.
Like, yep. You like turn your camera around and you just have all like beer brand mirrors lining your wall.
I mean, the amount of stuff I had, I've since gotten rid of a lot of it, but like I had an entire glass collection of Monster glasses.
Oh, lovely.
Monster. I mean, the swag that these companies just give out is crazy. Oh, national holidays, national drinking holidays, like St. Patrick's Day, speaking mm-hmm. of pub.
Right.
Absolutely. I would never work St. Patrick's Day. It was a day I would take off.
You like never were forced to? You were just like.
No, I would. When I took the job there, I was like, listen, I will work. The one shift that they were having a hard time, like always covering because people hated it, was the karaoke shift. And I was like, oh,
you're like,
I will work that shift. Who doesn't want to work? Because most of the managers were men and they hated karaoke. And all the lady managers were like, hey, karaoke. So I said, you know, I will do the karaoke nights, but I was like, I don't want to do nights just because they knew I was not a drinker. I was like, I don't want to do the nights where it's like the most hardcore drinking. Like it's, they were respectful of that. So they let me off. Like Cinco de Mayo, never worked to Cinco de Mayo, never worked to St. Patrick's Day. So I was like, that was like, if I had to work those, that would have been, I mean, I will forever be traumatized when I go to bars. Cause I watch people drinking and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to end well. For anyone involved. And my heart goes out to the people who work there. Cause I just watch how abusive drunk people are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're tough.
A great fucking trade though. Cause at least like with karaoke night, you're getting like return, like regulars, like that's their spot. And
yes.
They behave in it more.
Yes.
They want to be allowed
back. That is their
home.
That is their home spot. Yes. I could not agree more. Cause every Sunday night was karaoke and it was always the same people. And yeah, I mean, the dude who ran karaoke knew every single person. Like he wouldn't even need to like write down their names. He'd just be like, Jen, you're up. And it was just like, we knew Jen. And we always knew Jen was going to do a Janet Jackson song because that was
nice.
Her thing.
Fuck yeah, Jen. Oh, so good. So good. Wait, thank you for caring so much. I'm just going to say that. Like, I've had some of the best managers ever that I feel I'm just like, got your back, know what's up. It's like, you know, it we're all in it together and not like, yeah it's how
I always, refreshing. I always, you know, like I always remembered how mean that guy, Kent, who I then dated, was to me when I worked at Josie. And I was like, all you needed to do was just be nice to me. That's all you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, you know? I had never been, you know, because on my application, I said I had worked at like restaurants in like college towns. So it was like, he knew I had never done fine dining.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And rather than just be like, you know, all right, you know, there's going to be a learning curve. He was just always like super fucking short with me and super mean. And I was just like,
it's because he was attracted to
you. I think we all know that anyone who's working at a restaurant at some point doesn't have experience.
Right. You have to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. So with that said, it's just like, give everybody just a little bit of patience.
No, for sure. But I also think that, and I think it is changing more and more. And I hope that like the attitude that everybody has to be a piece of shit to each other is changing. Yeah.
Like the idea that like hostile, like work environments where like bosses would just yell at people. Like, I remember this story of my roommate's brother in college. He was telling the story about how he just got yelled at by his boss. Like, he had a whole meeting and he was just yelling at every single person, like loudly, like screaming. And I was like, I mean, at the time I was like, damn, that's crazy, man. But that was like normal. You know, that was like what was done. Like, you could get yelled at in a workplace. Like, now doesn't happen as much.
Nope.
And it seems pretty fucking great, but also, I mean, getting yelled at is what made me like work hard too.
Right. Like, now we live in a society where we can choose and pay for someone to yell at us if that's our kink, if that's what makes us, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's in certain ways, like part of it should be, it shouldn't be like hand holding and it should never happen. You shouldn't ever like be humbled. And in certain situations where you're growing and learning all the time, that's where like, you
life
know,
is
like
pretty humbling though. Let's be honest. Totally. Without someone.
But I just don't understand people who like when they leave, and I also, and I've said this, Brooke already knows this, that I want the next season of Severance to be at a restaurant, take place at a restaurant.
It's a real cliffhanger though, Andrea.
Right, right. But like, how can you just scream and scream and scream and scream in somebody all day and then just like leave and be like, okay, I'm just gonna go home to my wife and kids. Like, there's serious.
Everything's normal.
You can't. Like,
I don't get it.
Toxic. Yeah, it's just too much.
Speaking of at the end of the day, nothing better than restaurant hang.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Just the late night hang. Everybody's doing side work.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that was another thing about me as a manager. I was like way too lenient when it came to side work.
Oh, and we're
if I was doing the closing, oh god, I was like, oh, it's gonna be bad tomorrow. Because everybody was so fucking tired. It was 2 a.m. You know, by the time we were getting out of there, it was 3. I was just like, instead of like 20 roll-ups, I was like, just do 10. Let's get out of here. Big Wangs wasn't roll-ups. Big Wangs was just restocking buckets, but like all the other like minimal stuff that I needed them to do, I was like,
ugh. Yeah. I love. You're like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Oh my God. On that note,
like talking about it, chill down my spine when you said we just had to restock buckets at Big Wangs. Thank you so much. Anytime you want to come back, we can always have a check-in and a little segment called Manager on Duty.
You guys need to have my roommate, who's also a comedian, Zane Hepburn. He managed Fat Sal's.
Oh,
good God. Yeah. Okay.
For years. Every time I'm like, Fat Sal's, that's the one the car drove into the window again, right? Doesn't that like happen multiple times at that place?
And he was the manager there.
No. That happened. Yeah. Oh my God.
He was the MOD. Thanks.
This is fucking juicy.
OMG to that
MOD. Oh my God. Nicole Amy Schreiber, thank you so much. It's so good to chat with you.
This was so fun.
Well, get your address so I can send you a t-shirt, which you will then go on. I'll give you a percentage. If you can move some of these t-shirts,
I'll so hard.
Are you touring again? Are you going to be out on there? Are you going to be just playing shows locally?
I'm in LA. I'm doing, you know, Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, improv from time to time, but mainly the Comedy Store. That's my home club.
You do the grown-up gigs. I'd like to do that. I may have quit comedy. So
we'll do quit comedy. Did you quit? Are you done?
I don't know. Probably.
All right. We'll talk about this later. But I'm going to be coming up. I'm going to be doing the Cellar in Vegas from the 29th to the 6th. May 29th to June 6th, I'll be at Cellar in Vegas. That's inside the Rio Hotel.
Hell yeah.
Vegas people, you heard it here.
A little bit off the strip. Totally worth it, though.
And there's parking. That's what's fucking dope about it.
Well, then I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, you should come.
So good. Great talking, you guys. Way to wrap up the shift meeting. Let's do a good job out there tonight. And Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed.
And good tips.
We'll talk to you next week.